أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.
سبحان الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا مولانا محمد عليه وعلى آله أفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم. I would like to first begin by thanking you for your attention and for your time and for being here tonight. I ask Allah to make this a blessed occasion and I ask it to be inshallah a fruitful one, one that you can walk out of having learned something new. Anything that is mentioned tonight that is positive, effective, truthful is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any shortcomings are from myself due to, of course, the fact that I'm a human being. And just like you, all of us as human beings, we are prone to mistakes and we are very flawed. Just a few days ago, a sister was brought by her mother to my office. And this sister, she was very stressed. Young girl, maybe 14, 16 years of age. Like most of you here, the average age of you here. And this girl was cutting. She was engaging in self-harm. She tried suicide, attempted suicide 3 times. Right? And she, in the first 5 minutes, when I told her, tell me, describe yourself to me. She said, I'm the most imperfect, I'm the most worthless human being that I know. There's no hope, there's no future, there's no orientation, and there's no purpose to my life. I feel like I'm a burden, I'm a weight on everyone else around me. And I feel like I'm ugly. And she went on and on and on. There was not a single good quality she mentioned among the first 10 or 15. And then finally, after maybe 15 or 20 qualities, she said, well, you know, I have a good heart and this and this and that. And now when you're listening to this, you may be thinking, man, this sister is probably like, you know, she's probably, she has the, you know, you can see tears running down her eyes. You can see that she's got any stress. You can't even tell. She has one of the most, again, serene smiles you can see. And she has a face like anyone else. No one can call her ugly. She's been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question is, why would someone go through that? And how could you deal with something like that, subhanAllah? Imagine her mother stressed out, crying, her father, I don't want to lose my child. It's not an easy situation to be in. It's not an easy situation to be in. And this is not an exceptional case. This is a case that, subhanAllah, yani, you're coming into and you're walking across more and more often these days. Where a lot of the young guys, it's not easy to be young, man, these days. It's not easy to be young. There are so many challenges. So many things pulling you in so many different directions. And the challenges for the guys are a little different from the girls, you know, especially at this age. You can't deny that girls and boys go through different challenges in high school, they go through different challenges in university, and they go through different challenges going on their way towards high school. You can't deny that. Each and every one of you here is struggling on some level. For someone, they may be struggling financially. Someone else, they may be struggling emotionally. Someone else, they may be struggling, you know, with anger. You have a lot of built-up anger and frustration towards your parents. You see your mom, your dad, just get annoyed. Get angry. I don't know, for some reason. I see them, a'udhu billah. Huh? Everyone has their tests. Everyone has their fitna. And it's not easy, really. So the first thing that I want you to know is that, subhanAllah, don't think you're the only one struggling, number one. And don't think your struggles are unknown to people. Like sometimes people have this weird idea that I can't go up to an imam and talk to him about my problems. He will look at me weird. He'll think I'm crazy. Guess what? There's nothing you can say to an imam that he has not, or a female scholar in the community, that probably he has not or she has not heard before. So don't make assumptions. Yeah, we deal with this all the time. It's too sad. Yeah, it's really sad. Well, I remember sometimes being and sitting with a few other imams and we're just, you know, chilling together. Imams do that sometimes, yeah? And we start talking about some of the problems. And then maybe like 5-10 minutes into the conversation, we look at each other and we're, man, we have really sad lives. Like, wallah, we're masakeen, man. The things you have to deal with. Yeah? SubhanAllah. But we're also very blessed and privileged because we get to spend time with you and we get to be in touch with reality and we get to learn a lot. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. Tayyib? So, I remember one of the brothers, when I said this story to him, he mentioned, like, how on earth do you deal with something like this? What do you say to someone like that? You don't get trained for this. Yani when you go to Al-Azhar, you don't get trained for the most part for something like this. When you go to Medina, you don't get trained. Chapter 2, how to deal with a suicidal girl who tried 3 times and cuts her. There's no fiqh chapter on that yet. Right? Because that's a modern issue. It's a very modern issue. Right? So how do you deal with something like that? And subhanAllah, we had a conversation, I'm just going to be very honest with you, we had a conversation for around 2 hours. And by the end of it, she said, this has been more positive to me than some of my therapy sessions which lasted for much longer with her counselor. Right? So the first thing that I want to drive home with you is don't make an assumption that the imams in your community are off reach, that they don't know your struggles, that they're not aware. So I'll just mention 2 things that I mentioned to that sister, because there may be some of you here that are struggling with something similar, subhanAllah. Or maybe not similar, but you know, maybe not the exact same thing, but similar at least in the difficulty and in the weight and in the stress that it causes you. Right? So I told her, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right in coming to recognize that human beings are very flawed. As a matter of fact, you're a lot smarter than most. You're a lot smarter than most teenagers who are self-conceited. You know, we think, mashallah, we're on top of the world. We got everything. Allahu Akbar, we are on top of the world. Tayyib? But at the same time, I reminded her, listen to this carefully, my brothers and my sisters. I reminded her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels, the most perfect of beings, angels, to prostrate to your kind. Allah asked all of the angels to prostrate to your father, Adam. There must be a reason for that. Even the angels, they said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Even the angels, they said, you're gonna create and place upon this earth. And this was not a question of, you know, challenging Allah's authority. This was a question of curiosity. Are you going to create another being that is going to cause blood and mischief and corruption on the land? And we are here perfectly praising you, honoring you, exalting you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response was, I know that which you don't know. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes in a way that befits His majesty, because He's the most perfect of beings and He sees beyond any facades and He sees beyond any limitations. Each and every one of us is limited in all attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited, unbound by anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognized something specific and placed something specific in the human being that gives this human being such a great potential. And this comes and is manifested in many ways. I want you to imagine an athlete breaking a record for that jump. An individual memorizing the Quran. An individual challenging himself to become so buff, mashallah, tabarakallah. A sister challenging herself to become an expert in a field. Whatever it is, we have so much potential, but it's untapped. We have so much potential and it's untapped. It's like, okay, I understand that maybe there is something good in me because Allah sees good in me and I don't see the good in myself, but Allah created me, so therefore there is some potential good in me. But I'm still ugly. I told him, you're wrong. You can't be ugly. You know why? Why? Because you're a human being. What's the proof? Well, prove it to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Teen, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Listen to this story. Young man and young woman get married. It's their first night together. It's finally halal. Allahu Akbar. So he's holding her by her hand. That's halal, by the way. And they're going out for a walk together, enjoying the beautiful air together. And it's a beautiful dark night. The moon is fully bright. His wife, the moon is fully to the back, in the background. So he looks at his wife, looks to the moon, which is fully radiant and bright. And in the desert, by the way, you know, the moon is the most beautiful thing. You got nothing else to look at in there, right? Nowadays you got your iPad and iPod and batikh and shammam and fridge. Right? So he looks at his wife's face, looks at the moon, looks at his wife's face, looks at the moon, looks at his wife's face, looks at the moon. And then he says, Arab, yeah? Get excited, get too excited, huh? Too excited. He says, Wallahi, you are more beautiful than the moon. And she's like, aww. Yeah, mashallah, tabarakallah. And then he gets a little too excited. Arab, mashallah. Learn, guys, huh? All the guys that are about to get married. So he gets a little too excited. Pay attention. Huh? He gets a little too excited. He says, Wallahi, you are so beautiful. You're more beautiful than the moon. That I am willing to divorce you, three times. If the moon is better looking than you. Exactly. What? That was the response. He's like, what, you fool? What do you mean you're divorcing me three times if the moon is better? Obviously the moon is better looking. So she drops his hand and she's like, the marriage contract is invalid. I don't think I'm halal to you. You better drag your behind and go to the masjid and ask the Khalifa for a fatwa that I'm better looking than the moon before I can finally touch you again. Miskeen, he has to spend his wedding night waiting in the masjid. Waiting in the masjid for the Khalifa to come. The Khalifa comes and he tells him the story. Yeah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I got too excited. I told my wife she's prettier than the moon, and then I took it a little further and I said, Wallahi, 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 and then I said, divorce you three times. He got so, the Khalifa, so amused, he says, sit down. He brings all the scholars, young and old, and he tells him, say the story again. So he says the story again. And this time, all the older guys, you know when you age, mashallah, tabarakallah, you get a little, you know, you see a lot, man, you see too much nonsense. So you become less creative, you know, like, you just, life, man, life and all of it's nonsense. So all of the older mashayikh, they told him, listen, you're done. Go back and tell them you're divorced, go marry someone else. But there was a younger guy, a student of Imam Abu Hanifa, he remained very, very quiet. And then he asked him, well, what do you think? He said, there's no room for me to think when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already stipulated. What do you mean He's already stipulated? And he recited the Surah At-Teen, and he recited the ayah, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created the human being in the best form. He says to him, is your wife human? Yes. And she is the most beautiful of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let that sink in. So you don't need anyone else to tell you you're beautiful. You don't need,
You know, you don't need the Facebook posts and, you know, mashallah, Instagram, batikha, and this and this and that. You don't need anyone to set your ideals of beauty. Listen. I want every guy to know here. Every guy to know. Tayyib? This is not a self-help book or a self-help talk, by the way. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to you. He says, you are a beautiful being. You don't need to ascribe to anyone else's ideals of beauty and standards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you perfect. Work with what you have and accept that humbly. Accept that humbly. So what I'm going to do tonight with you guys, two things. The first part, as I'm going to remind you what it means to be Muslim, because we often forget. Wallahi, we forget, man. Many of the questions that we get asked indicate there's a problem with our aqidah. What does that mean? And sometimes when I say aqidah, people are like, what is that? What's aqidah, bro? Aqidah simply means the core of your belief system. Like your belief system. Everything that you have, everything that you do, is based on some solid belief. Aqidah as a Muslim is that belief system from which everything else emanates. So you go back to the core, go back to the core of that, the processor, the belief system, and fix that, you fix everything else. So that's one of the things that I want to focus on for today. Tayyib, I remember once, listen to this carefully, I remember once, and I don't know if I've done this with you yet, even if I've done it with you, we'll revise together. I remember once, someone asked me to recite, at their wedding nikah ceremony. They're like, I want you to recite Surah Al-Adiyat. Surah Al-Adiyat? Sure, I'll recite Surah Al-Adiyat. And I asked them, why do you want me to recite Surah Al-Adiyat? Like, it just sounds nice and it's little, it's small. So it's not going to take too much time. I'm like, Allahu Akbar. Do you have any idea how deep and meaningful Surah Al-Adiyat is? If you just recite, man. And as a matter of fact, if I were to recite Surah Al-Adiyat to most of you here, and I asked you what the surah is talking about, most of you are going to look at me and say, Islam, Allah, stuff, man, stuff. But we'll do that, together. I'm going to recite the surah, and then I'm going to ask you, what's the surah talking about? And then we'll link the story to your life, and I inshallah, listen to this. The promise is, you'll never listen to the surah the same way again. It'll be changed forever in your mind, okay? Tayyib, that's a promise, as long as you stay focused. So I'm going to recite the surah with you, and I want you to stay focused.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير.
What's the surah about? Sorry?
Stuff.
Yeah, mashallah. What's the surah about? Ya shabab, what's the surah about? You have a lot of energy. You're drinking an ice cap. How old are you? 10? You're relying on caffeine at 10 years of age. What are you going to do when you're 50, man? Afi, mashallah. So you have a lot of energy. You're buzzing. I see the energy, mashallah, radiating off it. What do you think the surah is about? It's like, I have energy for other stuff, Sheikh, but I don't have energy to think about this. Yeah. Allah Akbar. Why is the accent? Yeah. Tayyib, akhi, what do you think the surah is about? Yeah. People and their many problems. Allahu Akbar. Mashallah. What about you, akhi?
Allah is saying everything.
Allah is saying everything?
Allah can see everything.
Allah can see everything. Oh, that's nice. Ya Habibi, tafadhal. You feel like you wake up in the morning? Okay, now we're just going on tangents. Okay, that's enough. That's enough suggestions, okay? I'm going to stand up just so I can get your attention a little bit more, inshallah, and hopefully we're going to get a very exciting talk. Okay, we'll take some from the sisters. Yes, you're right. Let's have some tooth from sisters. The punishment of the grave. Okay, what do you think?
That humans love doing good deeds.
Punishment of the grave. Humans love doing good deeds. Yep.
Something about regret.
Regret. Okay, yeah?
Jannah and Jahannam. MashaAllah, look, I told you, you're gonna say Islam. We covered everything. Jannah, Jahannam, ala bil qabr, Allah, people, bad, good, khayr, shar, yeah. Okay, Mash, you're focused, good. Tayyib, that's great. Tayyib. I want everyone to stay focused because this is very, very important, okay? We're going to do this one ayah at a time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا. Imagine the Arabs, they love their poetry. Their poetry is like the Instagram, the video of today. Everyone wants to make some money by being a YouTuber. They were making money through poetry. That was their entertainment. So the Quran comes with the most beautiful entertainment, very vivid, very imaginative, subhanAllah, engages the reader. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا. So we imagine, listen to this carefully, عَادِيَات here refers to these horses. And these horses are ضَبْحَا. ضَبْحَا means they're panting. And they're panting together. When do animals pant? When they're doing what?
Running.
When they're running. So by telling us that the animals, these horses are panting, we imagine that they're running. The next ayah, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا. The muriyat refers to the horses' hooves. They're hitting, striking the ground, and as they're striking the ground, little fire sparks are coming out. Because you have the rocks, the little rocks on the ground, hitting with the hoof. You know, the hoof is hitting the rocks and sparks are coming out. So imagine these horses are running really, really fast, panting, and as they're panting, little sparks of fire are coming from their hooves. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ قَدْحَا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا. مُغِيرَة comes from أَغَارَة, which means to attack. So these horses are attacking when? In the early morning, when everyone is asleep, not expecting it. So these guys, these horses, are coming to attack. They're panting, going fast, causing all these sparks of fire, even though it's the morning, which usually is full of moisture. But these horses are going so fast that even the moisture is not holding back the fire. SubhanAllah, the imagery of the Quran, we don't think about the fire. Yeah, it's Sheikh, the surahs about Islam and people and stuff. Right? Pay attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا فَأَثَارْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَ. As these horses are moving and trampling through the ground, what's happening? The dust cloud is forming because of the sand. فَأَثَارْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَ. So all of the sand is being raised up, causing a dust cloud, a sand cloud. And also the فَأَثَارْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَ can also refer to the sound of the people being attacked. Their voices, they're screaming out loud because they're being attacked. فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعَ. Now the people that are being attacked are split right into the middle. Now for those of you who play soccer, what does it mean when you split your opponent? Right? What does it mean when you split, even in any sports, what does it mean to split your opponent?
Body check
him?
Split him in half.
Split him in half, yes! So what does it mean to split someone in half? You're done, man! Exactly, you're done, they're done! فَوَسَطْ نَبِي جَمْعَ. So he was able, these horses are able to split the camp in half. In half. Meaning that the camp will not recover. And now all of the Arabs that are hearing this, like you now, they're like, oh my God, why are they being attacked? Who's attacking? What's happening? Tell us more about the story. And then the Quran shocks the reader by saying, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ. The human being to his Rabb, his caregiver, his provider, his love source, the source of his creator, his guardian, his caretaker, right? The human being to his Rabb is utterly ungrateful. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. And he, the human being, is the greatest testament against his own reality, her own reality. You don't need anyone to tell you're ungrateful. You know that you're ungrateful. Sisters in the back, please. Sisters in the back. You don't need anyone to tell you that you're ungrateful. You know that you're ungrateful. Think about the last time you went to a halaqa and the imam was reminding you about the importance of your mother, your father in Islam, and you're like, you know, I'm going to go home tonight and I'm going to change my relationship with my mother, with my father. That's it, no more. And then what happens a while later? You forget. Ungrateful. You forget. We are so forgetful. We are so ungrateful. So what on earth is the relationship between the horses attacking and dust and all that stuff and sound at the very beginning of the surah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the human nature? Who wants to take a guess? What's the connection between the horses and the human nature? Yes?
The horses are us.
It's a very close comparison. That's great, mashallah. Listen to this. Horses are animals, yes or no? Animals have instincts, yes or no?
Yes.
The horse's instincts are to run away from danger or to run to danger?
Run away.
Run away. Any animal will run away from danger, right? But the horse has a master called the human being. And the horse's master feeds the horse, loves the horse, cares for the horse. And the horse is so loyal to that master that the horse is willing to override its instincts because of the loyalty that that animal has to you as a human being. And Allah gives us much more than we can ever give the horses. But we are so infinitely more ungrateful than the loyal horses, subhanAllah. So Allah compares the horse's loyalty to our ingratitude. We will sit there and we will be so pampered in the ni'am of Allah. Think about it. We'll sit there like, yawning and this and that. And it's not penetrating. It's not coming into the heart. Think about it. Who gave you the eyes, Akhi? Who gave you the eyes? Are you grateful for them? Are you grateful for them? How grateful are you? Do we use the eyes to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we use the eyes to look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us not to look at? Who gave us the ears? Do we listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us not to listen to? Who gave us the mouth? Do we say stuff that we're not supposed to say? Do we use our tongue to whisper, to say, to repeat bad things? Yo, bro, it's just culture, man. That's the way people speak nowadays, man. I've got to hustle, bro. I can't be speaking like intellectual in school. I gotta have, and have cred, bro. MashaAllah, cred. Cred with who? Cred with the people? What about cred with Allah, your creator, ya akhi? Does that make sense? You know, for it's just subhanAllah, you know, we have this attitude. It's so sad, wallahi. It's so sad. We have such entitlement, huh? We have such, especially among, MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, the 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds, that age group. MashaAllah, I remember once, this kid came to me like, you know, Sheikh, I don't like my mother. I'm like, MashaAllah, why don't you like your mother? It's like, she wants to take away my phone. I'm like, it's your phone? Like, yes. You paid for it? No. You made it? No. You created it? No. How is it your phone? Because my mother gave it to me. You fool! And because she gave it to me, I can do with it whatever I want. I'm like, wallahi, you can do with it whatever you want. Yeah. So, because you didn't make the phone, you just own the phone, you can do whatever you want with it. What about Allah who made you, and fashioned you, and owns you, and cares for you? Shouldn't He have the right to do with you whatever He wants? But we have this sense of entitlement to Allah. Allah can't tell me what to do. Allah, He can't tell you what to do. What? Who are you really? Who are you? Don't you know who I am? I'm what are you? You're a little small, little fit. Dust, nothing. You're nothing, really. You are nothing. Within the universe, you are nothing. When compared to the infinite power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are nothing. But, you are worth so much. Your honor, listen to this carefully, guys. Carefully, huh? Your honor is not intrinsic to you. Let me say that again. Your honor is not inherent in you. Your honor comes from your relationship with Allah. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. There's nothing intrinsically amazing about you as an individual. You come from two cells coming together, right? You are nothing. And you are planted in your mother's womb. You pop out. You can barely breathe. And you spend the next couple of years of your life struggling to crawl. Then your mother teaches you to speak, society fashions you, and you have all these ideas and entitlement. You walk up high somewhere down the line, 16, 17 years of age, you're walking with your, you know, head high, like, yeah. You got your degree? Yeah. You got your, mashallah, postdoc? Yeah. You got your, mashallah, your car? Yeah. You got all of, mashallah, then you have this sense of self, mashallah, aggrandizement. Who are you really? Nothing. All of it, all of those things that are earthly, material, dunyawi, right? Don't mean anything if you forget the one that made you. If you forget the one that fashioned you, right? Use the same logic that you have for your phone. You bought your phone for $700, fully out. You don't do contracts. You're a G like that, mashallah. Tayyib, you bought your phone fully out for 700 bucks. You go home, and if you want to take a hammer and destroy that phone, you go, I'll do whatever I want with the phone. I'm going to perform a YouTube experiment. I'm going to put it in chlorine. Why are you going to do that? It's my phone. Well, guess what? You are Allah's. You are Allah's. You don't have a right to your own body. You don't even own your own body. Who says you own your own body? Did you sign a contract? Do you own your own body? Do you have a piece of paper that shows you own your own body? You don't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully in control. But despite that, He doesn't place upon you rules that oppress you and that make you feel like you're worthless. No, He elevates you. He says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَلِي آدَمَ. He says, I've created you and fashioned you in the most beautiful of states. I've given you the choice. I've given you the capacity to choose. And that's what makes us, that's where the honor comes in, my brothers. When we choose, right? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. The human being has the potential to be the best of the best, or fall and sink and be the lowest of the low. And you come across people like that in your own life. Come across human beings that are like, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. What a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you come across other human beings, you say, A'udhu billah. Right? MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. Which takes me to my second part of the conversation. My brothers told me earlier that we have people in our audience, maybe not in our audience, in our Muslim community, young guys who are getting involved in all kinds of things, including bullying, fighting, online bullying, social media, everything. Sisters are like, A'udhu billah, here we go, we're gonna get scolded again. It's always so negative. No one ever praises me for anything. I'm so perfect. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. Right? I already praised you. I said you are perfect as a human being because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being your creator. Now let me remind you of something, subhanAllah. When I was in high school, some of you think imams, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah, they popped out of Jannah with a cane and a mushaf and like doing ayatul kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa. No. We're human beings just like you. Believe it or not. And when I was in high school, I remember once I went for lunch. So I walked from the high school, after high school, and I walked all the way across, basically 10 minutes, to get some halal pizza. And as I was walking, I saw two of my friends in high school. And they were having a good time. So one guy was telling the other guy, yo, I was like, yeah? Someone threw a monitor out. You know, garbage day, people throw monitors out. Back then, you know, all those old PCs. So he threw a big monitor out. He said, wouldn't it be funny if we take the monitor and wait for a car and just launch it and run? And I was just watching, I was like, Allahu Akbar. This is going to be nice. Yes?
One time, like, one of our friends made a habit,
You threw what?
No, my friend.
Your friend, not you, right? Your friend. What did your friend do? Yeah? What did he do?
Yeah,
he threw an egg. La, egg is miskeen, man. This guy's gonna... What's an egg gonna do, bro? Your friend's got nothing on these gangsters, man. Your friend threw an egg. Wow. Tayyib. Focus. So, this... I'm not even joking, guys. These guys, Allah is my witness, took the computer screen, and as the car was driving, he pulled it and threw it onto the road. And this guy, man, he's a good driver, he just barely misses the screen, right? He stops in the middle of the road, puts his blinkers on, and comes out, and he shows his ID. He's not. He's a cop. He's an undercover cop. Wallahi, I'm not even joking. He says, I have the right to put you under arrest right now, and he can get in so much trouble for this. But this, let it be your last warning. Don't ever do it again. And he let him walk. And I remember, and at this time, I forgot why I was going there. I was like, where am I? What's happening? What's going on?
And I was just thinking to myself, you know, now, you know, I can't lie to you. Back then it was funny, like it was funny, you know, a little funny, right? And it's stupid but funny. But now you look back at it like, man, subhanAllah, that is one of the dumbest things you can do. Imagine if you killed someone. Imagine how would you live with that? How would you live with that? Guilt. And imagine having to tell your, like, imagine being in court. How did you kill him? Well, it's a long story. But short story is, we thought it would be funny to throw him. Wallahi, you thought it would be, mashallah. Right? So what I'm saying is, a lot of these passing ideas you have of the world, a lot of these feelings, a lot of this anger, a lot of this fun, just excitement, it's really temporary. And you're going to grow out of it. Right? You're going to grow out of it, whether you like it or not. So I'm saying, what I'm saying is, enjoy your youth by taking that energy and fueling it, channeling it towards something productive. Do something productive with your life, man. So that 10 years from now, you can look back and be like, I left a legacy. I used my energy, my excitement, my, you know, that need, whatever it is, I invested it in some khair. Kept myself busy so that I can leave a legacy behind, something productive. Yeah? And mashallah, Yusuf, right? Mashallah, tabarakallah. I know him because he went to Isna. He's someone that, mashallah, I don't want to break your back, but he does that. You know, he does that, and I respect him for that. Right? I respect it. And a lot of you guys are like that too, mashallah, tabarakallah. You use your time, you use your energy in this age to do good, mashallah. I see a lot of you here as well that I know do that. But I also see some of you that are like, you know, just, you have so much potential, but it's untapped. And one of the greatest regrets you'll have is when you find yourself, imagine, just, you know, 30 years, 40, 50 years from now, you look back in your life, you're like, I wish I just put a little bit more time when I was young, when I had the strength, when I had the energy, when I could have. You're, wallahi, you're going to say it. And even if you don't say it in the dunya, you say it in the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا جَعْدَ وَنَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَ تَرَكْتِ كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. We take, wallahi, we take life for granted. Yeah? And I gave you this example before. I gave you this example before, and I'm going to give it to you again. Listen to this carefully. You know, sometimes people ask, when I tell you, what should you be grateful for? And I'll do this with you. Yusuf, what should you be grateful for? Number one thing you should be grateful for. Being a Muslim. MashaAllah, that's a good question. A good one. Yeah.
Your parents.
Being healthy. Allahu Akbar. Excellent. Give me one, Habibi. Anything.
The masjid.
Allah, he's like, let me think of something that an imam would love to hear. He's like, I have to throw all the bad ones at. Yeah, the masjid, bro. The masjid is so nice. Allah, I'm just messing with you. Sisters, yes. Education. Allah, Allah. The guys are like, mashallah. And sisters are like, mashallah. Yes.
Everything you have.
You just summarize everything, Ashia. Allah, move on. Allah, move on. Yes.
Life in general.
Allahu Akbar. That's good. Listen to this carefully. There's something in you right now. Just think about this for a second. This. And one day, this is going to happen. And that's it. That is it. You're done. Wallahi, you're done. And at that moment, you can't run, you can't talk, you can't apologize to your mother, you can't apologize to your friend, you can't go back and plant that seed, you can't run that company, you can't do anything, it's done. So one of the first things we have to be grateful for, like you mentioned, is this, the gift of life. The fact that you're still moving. You can't imagine how many people are in their graves dreaming about another chance. Dreaming! Imagine how many people, like, you know, sometimes you guys are smart, right? You see sometimes your parents are talking to one another, man, I wish, man, when I was 16, when I was 15, I wish I just put a little bit more effort in school. I wish I did something more valuable with my time. And they take all of their failures and they try to superimpose them upon you. They're like, Habibi, move, do something. Like, man, what's wrong with my parents, bro? They're like having a panic attack. They're having a panic attack because they realize what you don't realize yet.
You have an infinite amount of energy, an infinite amount of strength at this time.
Some of you are like, brother, I'm 16, but I have the body of a 70-year-old. I don't have any energy. I'm just waiting for Malik al-Malk to come and take me. And that's you, that's your problem. Yeah, you're lazy. You're lazier than lazy. Allahu Akbar. Right. But I'm speaking about... I'm speaking about... And most of you, most of you. You have, yes, you have this. Don't take it for granted. And don't waste it. And don't exploit your physical strength, right? This is something that I was told to say, so I'll mention it. طيب. Don't bully one another in any way, shape, or form. In any way, shape, or form. I'll finish with this. In any way, shape, or form. Don't hurt. Don't harm. Don't harm with your tongue, with your words, with your emotions, with your gestures, even your gestures. Right? Even your gestures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala عاتب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala critiqued the Prophet Muhammad in a way that befits his majesty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in a way because the Prophet Muhammad fell short of the perfection. Because what? Because he frowned. عبسه. Because he frowned in the face of an old man. The old man cannot see. He couldn't see. He's blind. He couldn't see. But the Prophet Muhammad was told, even then you cannot even frown. You cannot frown. Even if the person is not going to be affected, it doesn't befit you as a Muslim to do that, subhanAllah. Right? It doesn't befit you. And this is one of those things, yani guys, if wallah, if we truly know what it means to be a Muslim, if we truly know what it means to be a Muslim, when I see someone new to the community walking in here that hasn't been here before ever, I'm not gonna, oh my, here's this guy, oh this guy. No, I'm not gonna say that. I'm gonna say, here's my brother in Islam. Here's my sister in Islam, for your sister. And you gotta make her feel comfortable, make him feel comfortable, right? Allow them to be a part of the community, a family. We often bully each other in so many different ways. We make each other feel bad, we make fun of one another's tongue, we make fun of... That's not befitting. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, as I mentioned in the beginning of the surah, or at the beginning of the story, لَقَدَ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. The human being is created in the best form. The best form. Right? And remember when the companions, imagine this, imagine the companions, they made fun of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's legs. They said, bro, you have tiny legs. Such tiny legs, they're so thin. What is that? Is that like a biscuit? You know, we say that, biscuit legs, yeah? I don't know what you guys do now. Chicken legs, Allahu Akbar, chicken legs, yeah? Right? Actually, that's even better than biscuit, Allahu Akbar. Yeah? Exactly. Tayyib, shh. Tayyib, tayyib. And then, the Prophet Muhammad, listen to this carefully, guys. The Prophet Muhammad got so upset. He turned to the companions and he said, by Allah, his legs in the scale are heavier than you can imagine. Heavier than you can imagine. Don't underestimate. Don't give yourself the sense of like, hey, I'm this and this and that. Walk with humility and dignity. With humility and dignity. Remember that this is a constant reminder, a beating heart constantly reminding you of the gift of life. But we forget. We forget where it comes from. We forget where we're going. We forget, subhanAllah. And it's really, really sad. And so that's why I always tell you, my brothers and my sisters, link everything back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It'll give you the strength to deal with all of your problems and all of your worries and all of your anxieties and answer all of your questions. And it'll lead me to my final remark. I want you all to close your eyes just for 10 seconds. Imagine you're sleeping in your bed. Now imagine you're opening your eyes, and you are on an airplane.
Oh, I've heard this story like three
yes.
times.
Three times?
This is the third time.
This is the third time?
Third time is the charm.
Third time is the charm.
Oh, and then the airplane.
That's the one with the guy who was like...
Yes. I know you've heard it before, but it's a good analogy, okay? Tayyib, listen to this carefully. Everything else was new. Yalla, you can remind. So you open your eyes and you are on an airplane. The The flight attendant comes to you with this beautiful cake, beautiful fruits, beautiful water, and gives it to you. There's, you know, mashallah, your favorite nasheed, because you don't listen to music. Your favorite nasheed in the back, Allahu Akbar. There are all of these, just amazing atmosphere. It's beautiful, perfect temperature. You are having a blast. What's the question on your mind? How did I get here? What else? Where's the plane going? Where am I going? What else? What? Wow. Okay, food. That's nice food, yeah? Where am I going? Why am I going? When am I going to get there? How did I get here? Who is in charge? Who's driving? Who's flying the plane? All of those are important questions. Now imagine, as you're trying to answer these questions, the flight attendant comes and says, shh, don't ask those questions. Just enjoy the plane. The plane is the only thing that exists. Don't ask any questions beyond the plane. We are on a plane moving through space, believe it or not. It's called what?
Earth.
Allahu Akbar. Don't be like, Sheikh thinks Earth is a plane. No, no, I mean, it's a metaphor, okay? So we are on a piece that is flying. Don't get me wrong, it's a metaphor. It's orbiting, I understand, but imagine, it's moving through space. And we're going somewhere. And we came from somewhere. So don't be so focused on this that you forget the source of this. And what happens when this stops to beat? Okay, guys? JazakAllah khair. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.